Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Thursday evening service of October the 30th, 2003, of the Minister Deliverance Conference. Norman Parrish of Guatemala is the minister on this.
That the manna was the food of angels and no bulls. That was materialized and fed to the children of Israel in the 40 years that they were pilgrims in that wilderness. And you know what? It must have been the best food in the world, which we knew what was made of, because it says no one ever came down sick during those 40 years. It had all the vitamins, all the proteins, it had everything you need to, you know, with a healthy diet. You know? Angels have their own languages. I speak with tongues of men and angels. Angels. Let me tell you something here, just quickly. God has created various generations of angels. Now, I can't prove that from the Word, but some of the angels that appeared to us would say, I'm from the third creation, or I'm from the fifth creation. God originally created angels, but you know, angels don't reproduce. And according to the need, God, what? You think God stopped creation once and for all? After the sixth day, he just sitting around, killing his sons. No, I think God's, he's creative. That's part of his nature. He's out there creating other universes. Huh? We don't all know all these mysteries, but the angels that did come said, I belong to third creation, the fifth creation. Huh? So don't be surprised by that. I mean, I don't like to bring forth any revelation that is extra-biblical, but I'm just sharing this with you as just to satisfy your curiosity. There's different angels that have been created at different times. Amen? Now, we could study for an hour and a half the nature of angels. Now, angels are spirit beings created of God. They are holy creatures, very wise, they're very bright, they're very swift. There's several things we need to find out about angels. First, angels have no definite sex. They're neither female nor male. Mm-hmm. You won't find angels mating. They don't create baby angels. They don't give birth to baby angels. That's why I say that when God needs more angels, what does he do? He doesn't tell angels, now you get together and let's have a wave of childbirth. No. God just creates the angels he needs. Amen? They're not, the sexual distinctions can only be found in the body. Did you hear that? Let me see. There's Chris and his wife. You know, in the spirit, they're the same. His spirit is not male and her spirit's not female. The new creation in Chris is just the same as the new creation in, the Bible says, that in Christ there is neither what? Male nor female. The new creation is not male or female. The sexual differences are only in the physical body, brother. You believe that? Why are you looking at me like that, then? Another thing that you're going to find out about angels are not eternal, but they are immortal. What does that mean? Angels had a beginning, but they never have an ending. You are not eternal, but you are immortal also. You've come into immortality in the spirit. Yes or no?
Yes.
You will live on throughout what?
Eternity.
Throughout eternity. You're immortal. Another thing you're going to find out about angels, as you study the word, is that angels can be defeated, but they cannot be destroyed. Now that might sound kind of strange to you, but the battle sometimes is so fierce that angels have been defeated. They're creatures. They have their limitations like any created being. And they can not only be defeated, they can be imprisoned. They've been taken captive, and God's had to raid wherever Satan imprisons them in order to release them. You remember Entebbe, when the Ugandan dictator, the contingent of Jews, and imprisoned them, and the Israelite army organized a raid, and they landed by surprise with several planes in Entebbe, airport in the outskirts of Kampala in Uganda. And what did they do? Liberate those people that had been kidnapped or sequestered and released them and took them back to Israel. That's what God has to do. He has to raid. His angels have to invade the realm of darkness to liberate some of the angels that have been imprisoned. Now, I can't prove that by the word, but that's what they've confessed, that the battle sometimes gets so fierce that some of the angels fall victim, but they can't be destroyed. They can only be what? Taken prisoner, but God will organize some kind of raid to release them. Amen? Do you agree with that? Does it sound possible? Plausible? They're just creatures, and they're limited. You know, they're very intelligent, but they're not omniscient. They're not all-knowing. They're wise, intelligent creatures. They've got tremendous mental capabilities that haven't been tainted with sin. Why are we so dull and dumb at times? Because sin has affected our brains. But angels don't have that problem. See? They are strong, but they're not almighty. They are intelligent, but they're not all-knowing. They're still creatures. In many ways, they're vastly superior to us. But there's one area where we are vastly superior to them, and that is what? In the realm of authority. The new creation was made in the image of Jesus Christ, and we are in this new creation, or new creatures, seated with Christ in heavenly places above the angels. And if we exercise authority under the direction of the Holy Spirit, they will obey us. Now, a preacher in Guatemala years ago heard that we were having these angelic manifestations. We tried to keep them quiet. We didn't go around bragging about it. In fact, we had a rule of total silence. But, you know, it's hard for people to keep quiet when things like these are happening, you know. And they would say to somebody, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody. That just encourages them. So they got up, and the preacher came over to me and tore into me, and he said, this is heresy, he said. You know what he said? He said, I've got the Holy Spirit. I don't need angels. As long as I have the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who cares about angels? And I said, you poor, misguided person, because Christ was the Son of God, and did he need angels? Did he avail himself of the angelic ministry? You remember in John 1, I think it's 51, it says that the seven heavens will be open and you will see angels, what? Ascending and descending over the Son of God. It was going to be constant angelic activity during his entire ministry. Who assisted Jesus Christ after his ordeal in the wilderness? And who assisted Jesus Christ after his ordeal in the Garden of Gethsemane? If Jesus needed angels, you and I need them that much more. Amen? So we need to find out about, you know, angels and what they're here to do. Here, I emphasize here because they are here. You know, this place is flooded with angels, inside and out. I mean, a whole army of angels have come to be with us. They're inside, they're outside. But how many of us can see them? That's how dumb and so blind. You know, one of the greatest things you need to ask for is not money or power or fame. Ask for spiritual sensitivity. Ask God to quicken your spiritual senses. There's five senses. Spiritual eyesight. We have physical eyesight, but we can have spiritual eyesight. You remember Balaam was blind as a bat, couldn't see the angel. That donkey could see the angel, but he couldn't. Sin had blinded him, but God, out of mercy, opened his eyes and he saw that angel. That's what we need to ask God to open our eyes so that we can see into the spirit world. God will give us spiritual hearing. I mean, God can give us even spiritual what? Smell. Have you smelt the presence of God? Oh, I tell, there's not a smell like that in the world. I mean, I haven't smelt God's presence very often, but I'll tell you, I never ever smelt a perfume, no matter how expensive it might be, that has that heavenly odor, the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. And what about spiritual tact or spiritual feeling? What do you call that? Tact? Tacto in Spanish. What is it? Touch, but it's that. And what about taste? I mean, God will quicken all these senses to us so that we can be much more effective in His kingdom. Amen? Now, I believe that prophets are more capable of having these spiritual senses than most average Christians. But you need them, especially eyesight and hearing. Those are extremely important in deliverance. Amen? Ask God to give those. Let's put a giftings to you. Amen. Now let me just talk for a few minutes, and I'm going to have to bring this to an end. Let's talk about how the angels manifest. Now next time I come, I'm going to bring these notes in English. I only have them in Spanish. Amen? And we'll maybe have another chat, and we'll talk about the spirits of God and many other things about angels. But let me tell you about angels is how they manifest. Now, angels can manifest as they are. You understand that? They appear in their actual form, shape. I mean, in order to do that, something has to happen. One is, they have to materialize. And you know, there's angels are spirit beings that can be compressed down into the size of an atom, or they can be expanded. You read in Revelation, there was an angel that was between the earth and the sun. Huge! They can assume different sizes, different shapes as spirit beings. Amen? Now, when angels appear, they materialize and appear in their actual form, they inspire what? Fear, awe and fear. I mean, they can terrorize people, run and hide. They're frightened out of their wits when they see angels. That's one way they manifest. Another way they manifest is God will open your eyesight. You will see the angels, but nobody else will see them. And you'll see them as they are. And that can frighten you too. But you know that angels can manifest in a veil form. For example, who manifested in the burning bush? It says an angel. I can prove to you. In Exodus and in 3 and in Acts 7, it says an angel. Now, God was there too. There were two beings there. There was an angel and there was God. We confuse both. We think God was the angel, or the angel was God. Now, let me just make a little parenthesis here. There is an angel called the angel of the Lord, who is the manifestation of deity. Amen? How do we know when it's an angel or when it is the angel of the Lord? When angels accept worship, they are the angel of the Lord. But common angels will not accept worship. How many remember in the book of Revelation, twice, John the Revelator bowed before the angel that was showing him all these things, and the angel immediately said, "Now get up! I'm just a fellow servant." Why did John, being a prophet, with all the knowledge and experience he had, bow before an angel? You know why? It was the angel of Jesus Christ. And the angel assumed the appearance of Jesus Christ. John thought it was Jesus. You know, angels can, your angel can assume your appearance. He'll look like you. You know, I've had people come up to me and tell me that they've seen me in such and such place. And I said, "But I've never been there." And they'll swear to the fact that they saw me there. Well, maybe it was my angel, or one of my angels, because I feel I got several, that went there with some kind of a mission to accomplish, and you assume my appearance. They can. They have that ability. Okay? So angels can be manifested in a veiled form. Listen to this. This is very delicate, and I want to be careful in stating it, but angels can manifest as men or in men. Did you hear that? They can. They manifest as men. That means they assume the appearance of a man. But they're not real men. Right? In that case, I think it is in a man. Because you receive a man in your home. You offer him hospitality. But he's a man. And the person doesn't know it's an angel. He just sees the man. And it can be an actual man or a fictitious man. Depends on the circumstances. Can angels enter a physical body? If demons are fallen angels, as we assume, there's no better explanation as to what the demons are. They have that ability to enter human bodies and dwell within human bodies and take control of human bodies and manifest and speak through human bodies. Where did they get that? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Demons can take over the body of a Christian, can they or not? Don't you think angels have a greater right to do that when God commands them to do that? Who was manifested in Stephen when he stood before the Sanhedrin? There was an angel in Stephen. And his face was transfigured so that the members of the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders of Israel, saw what? They saw an angel in the man. Do we have any instances in the Bible of angels becoming men or taking a human body? Genesis 18. Have you ever read that story of Abraham was sitting out there in the front of his tent? He was kind of, it was hot, and he was there just getting a little bit of fresh air and resting after a full day of work. And suddenly he saw three men coming. And he, being a prophet, discerned that these were not just common men. So he rushed out to meet them, and he said, Lord. He didn't say Lord, plural. He said what? Lord, single. And he said, come in. And what did he do? He fed them, and they did eat. In order to eat, they had to have a physical body that could digest the food, masticate, digest, assimilate. They had a physical body, a real physical body. Now, who were these three men? The Bible says one was the Lord. And then in chapter 19, it says two were what? Angels. The two departed to carry out their mission, was to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy those twin cities. While the Lord stayed with whom? Abraham. And Abraham interceded for Lot and for his family and for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
And when Abraham stopped interceding, he stopped too short. Then the Lord departed. But the two angels that went to Sodom, read chapter 19. In one verse will say the angel, next verse will say the man. They were good-looking human species, specimens, because the men of Sodom who were perverts wanted to what? Have sex with them, know them, rape them. Huh? They were men and angels at the same time. Now let me tell you something, brethren, just in short. I believe those three men were the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in angelic and human form. This is a theophany, three in one. That's why Abraham called them what? Lord. One. In three distinct persons. Would you accept that? Is it a valid interpretation? Now let me give you another one. Jacob wrestling at the brook. With whom? With a strange person. Now you read what it says. This is a man. He's called a man. He had a physical body. They wrestle, not in the spirit, but body to body. And the wrestling match went along till dawn was breaking forth. It was an all-night affair. And Jacob could not defeat the angel, and the angel could not defeat Jacob. The angel was in a physical body. Whose? I don't know. This, and the Bible says there, and why don't you open Hosea chapter 10, verse 4. It explains who the angel was, or the man was. This is another interesting instance. Well, there's a lot that we need to learn. How many believe that?
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 10, verse 4. No, the 12:4. 12:4 says, yea. It's talking about verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. That's Jacob. And by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Plural. That's the plurality of God. Let us come down and confound their tongues. Let us make man in our image. The plurality of God. God is one, and God is three. Unity and plurality. Amen? Now, I respect anybody here that's a Unitarian. I don't want to get into a big theological discussion. But God is one, and God is three. Now, you might say it's three manifestations. I say it's three personalities or persons. It's a matter of semantics. But Jacob wrestled with a real man, but within that man there was an angel, and within the angel there was whom? God. Three layers. Man was the outer layer. God was at the core. And in between, like a buffer zone, was whom? An angel. Now, if God was in the man directly without that asbestos suit that was the angel, what would have happened to the man? He would have just melted. He would have just evaporated. So God manifested in the angel, and the angel manifested in man. Can you accept that explanation? Boy, you're looking at me strange. Sure, it's brand new. You won't find it in books. See, there's some books on angels, a few, in Christian bookstores, but they're all written from a theoretical standpoint. The only difference is I've had the experience. Angels have manifested in human form in Guatemala. Some of the boys I trained that are now renowned preachers, they are renowned apostles, had angelic manifestations in which the angel would come. They were 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age. How many read about the angelic manifestations in China? There's a book there, I think, about these. Huh? Yeah. You know, Brother Baker, I mean, he wrote these books. The Lord wouldn't let me write anything about these things. And this is much more relevant, I think, than what he had. That's, excuse me for sounding like if I was bragging, but I'm not. We had all kinds of angelic manifestations. Angels would just suddenly come and enter a physical body and say, I am the angel of the Lord. And I'd say, well, if you're the angel of the Lord, make your confession. And the angel would say, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And if I wasn't sure, see, when something like that happens, you have to test three things. You have to test the man. What kind of life is he living? Is he living a life of holiness? Total dedication to Jesus Christ. Secondly, you must test the message with the word. It has to tally with the word. Amen? And let me see. And you must test the power. Okay? The man, the message, and the power. Now, the angel would say, I've come to deliver a message. Well, he would say, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And if I wasn't absolutely sure, I would say, and what did he come for? Well, some demons and person angels would say, he came to found a new religion. And I said, you imposter, you deceiver, get out of here. It happened. And listen to this. When I asked what he came for, he would say, he came to undo or to destroy the works of the devil. And then I would ask him, where did that happen? Where did it take place? At the cross? On Mount Golgotha, or on Mount Calvary, so I would authorize and deliver his message. Huh? Sometimes we could accept what he says. Sometimes we weren't sure. We just put it on a shelf and wait for confirmation. Can you accept that? It's not easy to accept. In fact, many times you have to be there and see it and hear it in order to believe. I don't blame you for being skeptical. It's good to be on cautious. Amen? I'm not asking to believe me. Believe God. Believe His Word.
Amen.
But see, things like this are happening and are going to happen with greater frequency in the future. See, a prophet is a man of spirit. He's a spiritual man. And he's just like one of these birdhouses, wide open to any spiritual influence. If he's living a godly life, angels and Spirit of God can manifest in and through him. If he's living an ungodly life, then demon spirits will come and manifest in and through him. Can you accept that? Okay. How many read the story of Manoah, Samson's father? Remember, Manoah was out working the fields, and the wife was at home. She was barren, she was sterile, she had no children, and an angel appeared. But in human form, she only saw a man, and the man is called a man of God, and that was a title of a prophet. Prophets are called seers, prophets, and men of God. He was a man of God and gave her a message that she was going to conceive. And the child she was going to conceive was going to be the deliverer of Israel, and instructed her as to what she should eat and everything. When the angel departed, the man departed because she didn't know it was an angel, she ran up and told her husband. The husband said, well, I've got to make sure this is true. So he prayed and said, Lord, send the man again. Then the man came and confirmed the story. But you read that in Judges chapter 13, and you'll see there's a play of words. Man, angel. Man, angel. So the prophet, the Manoah's father, wanted to honor the prophet, the man, by naming the child after him. And he said, what is your name? And he said, I can't tell you my name. All angels have names, but very few reveal their names because they don't want, you know, the only ones mentioned in the Bible are Michael and who else?
Gabriel.
And Gabriel. Now, I've spoken to angels called Caesar and Victor. Well, a number of names. But what God is trying to avoid is them being deified or being objects of worship. That's why they don't reveal their name. But anyways, Manoah wanted to honor the man of God, prepared a feast, just like Abraham did. With the difference is that the three men that feared Abraham ate, but this man of God refused to eat. He said, let's offer it up to God as a sacrifice. So they built an altar, and what happened? When the flames went up from the altar, suddenly the body, that physical body, began to rise. This was a rapture. The angel went up in the flames with body and all. And Manoah's wife just stood there, transfixed. This was a miracle. How could a physical body, they didn't know, up to then, they didn't know it was an angel. But when the body began to go up in the flames without being scorched, he said, we have seen the angel of the Lord. The rapture. The angel went up in the flames with body and all. And Manoah's wife just stood there, transfixed. This was a miracle. How could a physical body, they didn't know, up to then, they didn't know it was an angel. But when the body began to go up in the flames without being scorched, he said, we have seen the angel of the Lord. There's many instances of this. The angel that appeared to Joshua, the angel that appeared to Gideon, in other cases. They're called men. What about the, you know, when at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the writers of the gospel says that a man was at the entrance of the tomb, but another one says it was an angel. And when Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, it says what? Two men in white appeared and said, men of Galilee, why are you standing there just so gapping or gazing up into heaven? Two men. Were there angels in human form? Were they angels in a human body? Were they real men or were they, I wouldn't say counterfeit men, but they were plastic men. I don't know. But my experience is angels can take upon themselves a physical body. God can prepare people to receive angels. And these people are usually prophets. They become prophets. See, there's a lot of people in America calling themselves prophets, but I don't know of one valid American prophet today. Not according to biblical standards. Are you a pardon? Are you saying that you're a prophet?
No, I said we're non-profit.
You're a non-profit, yeah. Most of our churches are non-profit and non-apostle. But God is restoring these ministries. We shouldn't be surprised. We need the whole kit and caboodle. We need the fivefold ministry. Amen? How many have learned something tonight? Maybe you haven't learned, but this is shaking up your theology a little bit. You want to hear more? Well, I can send you my 8 part. My 8 tapes, but you'll have to learn Spanish first. Because I haven't given that series in English nowhere. I've only given them a few times in Latin America. I don't speak very often on angels. I choose to speak on angels when the church has reached a certain level of maturity. And that's why I accepted the challenge, because I think you people are have reached a certain level of maturity. Some more, some less. Or some less or some more. Amen?
Amen.
If God has permitted you to hear these things, it's because he thinks he can trust you.
Amen.
Will you betray him?
No.
Will you take this teaching and twist it?
No.
This is, I told you at the beginning, this is something delicate. God is confiding in you. Now, don't swallow this, what you call it, fish hook and line and sinker, what is it? No, examine it. Go to the Word. Get your concordance down. Begin to study all about angels and angelic manifestations. It's a very interesting study, I'll tell you. You'd be surprised what you're going to find. We are not alone in this universe. We're encompassed by myriads of angels. Myriads is millions of millions. Do we have to fear the devil and his little scoundrels? Not at all. You know, we have personal angels. Any Christian has angels. They're not aware of it, but the angels are there. Personal angels. But we can also have ministerial angels. And the greater the office you have, the more angels you have, and the wiser they are, and the stronger they are. Amen? And that's why I believe Michael has ministered to me at times. Because in God's providence, I've played a role in Central America and parts of South America in establishing God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why I need your prayers. Because I don't want to stray from the truth. And under no consideration do I want to be looked upon as something. I'm just one of you. Amen?
Brother Norman, what about the boy who had the demon angel?
Well, that story would take quite a long time. I mean, he's not the only one. We've had a lot of those cases, too. All the counterfeit spirits, you know, that try to imitate, falsify what God does. That's where discernment really comes in. Amen? Well, it's 10 o'clock. And some of us have to get up early and get on the road. And how many would like God to release some angels to work with you and for you?
Amen.
Okay? How many feel you need them?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Yeah. I lost my wife nearly 3 years ago, but I haven't had one single day of loneliness, not one single day of depression. Why? What do you think? I'm surrounded. I can feel them. I can commune with them. Amen?
Amen.
You too can. Don't give in to those feelings of depression and anxiety and fear. There's no reason for that. As citizens of the kingdom, we have the privilege of having angels on our side. Amen?
Amen.
They want to assist us if given a chance. And we are the ones that will determine how much or how little they will do in our behalf. It's by an act of faith, by speaking the word in faith, that God's going to honor us by releasing his angels to work with us in accomplishing his purposes in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So let's stand. No, we're not to pray or worship, but we can talk to them. Just now, the angels there, just talk to them. It might seem like you're talking to yourself. It seems like you're talking to yourself, but you're not. Your word is spirit. He said, the words that I speak are spirit. Okay. Yeah.
Amen.
Why not?
Yeah.
And the parishes, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes the parishes feel like they're perishing. So, okay, why don't you hold hands with the people that are beside you, and let's just join in spirit We're going to pray and ask God to release these angels. I'm going to act upon the authority of God. And I'm going to release them. Amen? And I think God's going to honor that. And you just let those angels begin to manifest in your behalf. And they'll do it. Okay, close your eyes and just relax. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word that has come forth. We believe that it has been inspired by your Spirit, the timely word. We're coming into an era in church history when we will need all the help we can get from you. We will need the fullness of your Holy Spirit, but also we will need your angels like Jesus needed them to assist us in everything that we do, especially as pertains to your church and to your kingdom. So we will ask you right now to hear thy cry, Father. Many of your children here present tonight have been crying out to you for help. I would ask you tonight that you will answer those cries. Come to our encounter, Father. Meet us. Visit us with your holy angels. With the authority that you have granted your servant at this very same moment, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit and for the glory of God, I release your angels, the same angels that you have assigned to your people that are gathered in this place tonight. I release them. And I activate them in our behalf. I command them with God's authority to begin to work powerfully, insistently, to bring about the fulfillment of God's purposes for our life, our home, our church, our community, our nation. I command the angels that are here tonight to draw nigh. Manifest your presence, whatever way you choose to. Camp around us. Surround us. Follow us. As we travel. As we minister. Do what the Father's told you to do. That's enough. Carry out His orders. Fulfill the purpose of your creation to do the will of God in these end times. Now, Father, we accept the presence of your angels. We acknowledge the presence of your angels. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for not leaving us destitute. Take away from our hearts, Father, all fear and apprehension, all anxiety, all depression, all loneliness, that your angels will be there to succor us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us. Oh Lord, there's so many things they can and will do for us. It all come to pass. I decree it in the name of Jesus Christ. Ye shall determine any one thing, and it shall happen. And I decree it. Command ye me about my children and the work of my hands. And I command all these angels, get involved in what we're doing. And if we stray, bring it back into order and into shape. Just build whatever barrier needs to be built so that we will stop and reflect and return to the original purpose of God for our lives. Treat us with mercy. Father, you know that we are so weak and so foolish for your angels. We can do mighty works in the name of Jesus. Help our ministry in the areas of healing and deliverance to be much, much, much more effective. With the help of your angels, we're going to be able to do that. Help us to act in faith and encourage and command the angels against the powers of Satan. Help us to agree in prayer to send your angels out to destroy the fortresses of the enemy. Yes. To destroy the casinos. Yes. To destroy the houses of prostitution. Yes. To destroy the houses where crack and other drugs are being sold. Yes. Yes, Lord.
to bring division within the demonic ranks,
yes,
to set people, the enemies of God, at odds with each other,
yes, Lord,
destroy the bands or the gangs,
yes, Lord,
that are terrorizing our neighborhoods.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, confuse the enemy.
Yes, Lord.
Confuse the enemy.
Yes.
We send forth your angels tonight,
yes,
to war.
Yes.
To war. And we will war with them. We will work,
yes,
with them side by side. We will accept our position within the army of God, assisting the angels and having these angels assist us. We know, Father, that we need your angels, but we also know that your angels need us.
Yes.
So we join the authority that you have given us with all the other gifts that you have imparted to the angels, that we can become a mighty army, victorious over Satan,
yes,
and over his dark kingdom.
Yes.
Now we praise you and we thank you, for we believe it's come to pass, and that the results will be manifested shortly.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Let's give Jesus a hand clap tonight. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.